Helping Hand, weekly feature. It's on HBR1 stations statewide as part of All Things Considered and then archived online at our website, hawaiipublicradio.org. Fridays, Helping Hand connects with an organization, event, or topic that offers assistance to the disabled and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. Thank you very much for listening. This week, I am proud to welcome back for, I think it's fourth appearance, National Federation of the Blind of Hawaii, and helping me to figure out which appearance it was. I appreciate it. NFB, not an organization that speaks for the blind. It is members of our community who are blind, who are speaking for themselves, advocating on behalf of the blind and those with vision challenges. They serve as inspiration and proof that blind people can realize fulfilling lives. They offer encouragement, support, and invaluable resources for those with vision disabilities and their loved ones affected by blindness. And we will learn about their mission and hear about their upcoming local state convention that they are presenting September 30th and October 1st. Elks Lodge in Honolulu, still the site? Is that where we have this?
Nope,
no.
We're correcting that this year. It's 1901 Bachelot.
1901, what is it at?
Bachelot. Bachelot Street. It's right off of Nu'uanu, off of Kuakini.
All right, let me get that one in there. Mm-hmm. And talking about their upcoming local state convention, they are presenting September 30th and October 1st at 1901 Bachelot Street in Honolulu. It is a privilege to be welcoming back National Federation of the Blind Honolulu Chapter President and State Affiliate VP Virgil Stinnett, his lovely wife, Local Affiliate Secretary, and State Convention Coordinator Katie Stinnett, and Shell Cantan, VP of Honolulu Chapter, and also someone who has the distinction of helping to instruct people in using canes for the blind and also be an O&M, an orientation and mobility guy to assist those without sight. Thank you and welcome back to Katie and Virgil, and welcome, Shell. Glad to have all you guys here.
Aloha.
Thank you. Aloha, and thank you for having us again for our fourth time in a row. And you know, it's always a privilege for us to come here and share what we do as an organization. You know, I think the first time it was just introducing who we are as an organization.
Yes, it was.
Second mm-hmm. time, we shared with you and all the listeners out there about what we do with parents who have a blind child, and we take them to national convention, and then they get this experience that blindness is not the final barrier for their child. It becomes just another learning curve.
And that was Aurelia that you brought with you.
Correct. And she is wonderful.
And amazing.
And her mother, Rachel.
Right. An amazing story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And continue. Sorry.
the next time we came, I think
we brought Melissa.
Melissa, mm-hmm. who is our outreach coordinator for our Honolulu chapter of the National Federation of the Blind. And the one thing that we've wanted to do is give back to our community. And so that's the one thing that we've been doing and we've continuously done every month is feed the homeless at Kaka'ako.
Mm.
And then
we create personal hygiene bags in Haleiwa at an event out there. They're both attached to churches that offer these to the community of homeless, and one is in Haleiwa Beach Park, and yep. one is Next Step Shelter.
I've heard of the one in Haleiwa. Yeah.
Church in the Park.
Exactly.
Churches.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we go once a month to both events and help provide the manpower to service our homeless of Hawaii.
And that was last year's theme, and a theme of giving back and showing that just mm-hmm. because someone is blind doesn't mean that they don't have the resources to be part of a really important effort like helping the homeless in Hawaii, which is a critical issue. And then this year,
it's a big national movement with our organization, the National Federation of the Blind, and that is it's called The Right to Parenthood. And basically what we want to do is educate the community, our public, society, and eventually get into law that every person, blind, disabled, should have a right to be a parent.
Mm. And that's sort of the theme that revolves around your guest, Shell.
Yep.
And Shell, you are a, as I'm understanding here, you're a blind person with a sighted child.
Yes, sir.
And why don't you come a little closer to your mic?
Okay,
there
here
you go. Perfect. And explain a little bit of, I guess, your background first, just so we can get a picture of who you are and how this fits into your life.
Okay. Well, I grew up on the Big Island. I'm the second child of six. I have two younger brothers that are also blind. So we grew up in a family where dad didn't really let us get away with anything. He really had high expectations for us. So we kind of, you know, we're kind of fortunate like that. So coming here for training at Ho'oponopono Services for the Blind, where I work now, it was pretty easy to kind of transition with the expectation thing because, you know, growing up, there's always high expectations for us. So I wasn't really familiar with consumer groups. I wasn't familiar with all these cases of parents getting their children taken away based on their blindness. I wasn't really familiar with anything that went on with blindness until I got here in 06. Then I started meeting people like Virgil and Katie and other members of the NFB. I started to see that this was a big problem, and it really didn't affect me much until I became a parent a couple of years ago, and I started to get all these questions by the doctors, social workers coming in questioning me, and I knew how to advocate for myself, which, you know, I felt I was kind of fortunate because there's a lot of blind people out there who don't know how to advocate for themselves and speak up for themselves, and I feel like we shouldn't have to explain to a doctor how we're gonna do things. I feel like that you shouldn't, because, you know, put it this way, the doctor came in and he started asking me these questions like, is there somebody sighted that's gonna be in there with it? Who's gonna help you watch the baby? How is the baby gonna be kept safe? And I was kind of offended, but at the same time, I understand why he was saying all those things, because he wasn't, we're probably the first blind couple out there that was taking a baby home out of Kapiolani Hospital that he's ever dealt with. So this is new for him. So I got a little bit nervous, but a little bit irritated at the same time, because I knew what I was capable of.
Right.
And I knew that my blindness would not be the reason I couldn't be a parent. You know what I mean? So and then I started hearing all these horror stories of families across the country who get their children taken away just because they're blind.
And your child, how old is your child? Is it boy or girl?
He's a 21 month old boy. His name is Kealii, and he's a handful.
And I bet.
Yes, he is.
And the you're married? And
no, I'm not married.
Not married.
No. My son's mom is also blind, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just getting the picture here. Mm. And it does. I can imagine that can be a tricky spot for the doctors too, right?
Right.
Because they really, you know, they want the best for the child,
right,
and they don't want to offend anyone
of
with
course.
The questioning they're asking, but yet they've got to ask these very tough questions.
Yeah, right.
I mean, and so it's, you know, taking a step back from that, when you think Virgil or Katie, when it comes to this theme of right to parenthood, is there a specific legislative approach that you guys are going after? Or is there a plan in terms of, requirements or what kind of stipulation there would be to interact with medical people and the role that a blind parent would be able to play with their child?
Well, basically it's...
up close to your mic. There you go.
What we're trying to put out there is that just because... a person's blind doesn't mean that they can't have a child and take care of a child. So we want, you know, it has to be something very significant other than just blindness. And that's pretty much, we want to protect everybody that want to become parents, because everybody has a right, if they can, become a parent. And I know there are parents out there that probably shouldn't be parents, but, you know. The thing is, we just want to make sure that the folks that are disabled, we're probably one of the most vulnerable groups.
Right.
Because society looks at us as, you know, we're probably incapable. And, you know, Shelly's very capable. Katie, who I'm married to, is very capable. You know, and so because society doesn't know that, they tend to jump the gun and make a, you know, quick decision on us. And so we're just trying to make sure that people that are disabled have that protection.
We, as a national organization, Dave, have at our national office in Baltimore, Maryland, a model legislative bill that we're attempting in Congress as well as at each state level to put into place to protect people who are blind and disabled from their, or rather for the right to be a parent of their children mm-hmm. at the point of birth or adoption or any of the ways that parenting comes. In fact, it was 2 years ago that Virgil and I, who we have collectively together, oh golly, I don't even know at this count, we have quite a few nieces and nephews, but we were honored by very close friends of ours who are both sighted and have two boys, and they're now 1-year-old and 3-year-old, to be their legal godparents if anything ever happened to either of them. And it struck us that, oh my gosh, of course we don't want anything to happen to our friends, but what if we were left the boys and were blind? And what is the legal court system going to do to us? And those boys would be without family or parents. The reality of that struck home very hard when that happened. And we were very honored by our friends, and we are the legal godparents of those children, and the parents are just fine, thankfully. Yeah. But at the same time, we have that legislative key in place as a national organization. If anyone wants to read more about it, nfb.org, and it has the model bill on our website nationally so that people can see more in detail what instrument we're attempting to put into place nationally and locally.
Right, I get it. That's right. The answer to the question you're saying is that on a national level, the organization has been mm-hmm. has come up with text and
correct.
Have researched it and looked through it and tried to figure out the best way of presenting it. And that the plan is then to present that when and how? How will that go forward from there?
Well, nationally, we're already working on it in Congress. We presented it last...
So it would be a national thing?
The way we work legislatively as an organization, and Virgil is our local chair for our legislative action, mm-hmm. and we all work as advocates in the way that Shell indicated for lots of rights for the blind. But we work from the top down, but sometimes it happens at the state level before it goes national. So we work from both ends, really. We have a model bill in place locally in Hawaii, and mm-hmm. we are looking to put it through legislation this next coming legislative year in 2018.
Basically, it's a grassroots.
Hang on, Virgil. Can you boost Virgil? I'm hearing him low.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You've got him up. Let's see. Get close to that. Make it so you can almost kiss it. You're going to have to.
How's that?
We've lost Virgil. There you are. I hear you
now. Okay, is that better?
That's way better.
Yeah, now I hear you.
You hear that? Whichever one that is, Bill.
On the headphone,
there
yeah.
you go.
Hello.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. Geez, where was I?
You were saying...
You were talking about the legislative...
Well, yes. Basically, even with the national bill that we're working on through hopefully introducing it to Congress, what we try to do is bring it home to the grassroots level and adopt it state by state.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, each state will adopt it to what really works for each state. Hawaii will adopt it to where it works for us here in our home state. We'll take the model bill and then, you know, change whatever needs to be changed, language or not. But it's a first step. And is once we bring it here, then, you know, we're reaching out to a few of our legislators here at home so that then we could take that and hopefully bring it into session next year.
And they can help you craft it, I'm thinking, too, to get something that will be passable, or there's some sort of level of assistance they can provide as legislators in just looking at drafts, yeah?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Because, and it always helps out when we come in and we have a model bill.
Right.
Then they could take a look at that and then
tweak it
into what works and what they, because they're the professionals. They know, you know, what will move through legislation better, quicker.
Right.
And so that's where we'll work with them.
We have a team. Oops, now you lost me.
There you go.
We have a team. No, I don't even hear myself. We have a team in our national level that works on government action, and we also have a legal team, and they work with Congress sometimes to ensure that those languages in the model bill are appropriate as we bring them down to the state, as well as moving through Congress. And all of us here do work nationally as well as locally in our advocacy for the rights of blind people.
But turning back to the local thing, because I know the convention is coming up, and as a way to try to, and on that same note about there are a variety of useful things about attending this that's coming up September 30th and October 1st in Honolulu. But one of them, on the note of the legislation, is that also something that at this convention you are going to bring this up as a topic where you can people can also contribute in terms of the finesse of the language at that event?
As a matter of fact, this particular topic was introduced to our state convention last year as a resolution. And so our convention assembled, passed it through unanimously. So this is something that locally we have decided to move forward with.
So it's going to the next step is what you're saying.
Correct. Because, you know, things like this take time.
So the language is worked out locally. You don't need to re-review what it is locally.
Well, no. Locally, then we'll meet with legislators.
I get it. And have them look at it.
Yes. And that would be our next step. But first, we had to then create a resolution for our members to say, we want to support this. And our members do want to support it. And so, I mean, it's taken about a year, but still, sometimes it takes longer, but I think this year our main focus after this convention is to move forward and push this through.
Some of our local members have already taken our resolution, which is the model language, and had meet and greet times with our local legislators. So there is some awareness locally in the legislation.
Yes.
But legislation had closed by the time our resolution had moved through our process to get to the point that we can meet with the legislators and show them what our language, what we want, and what we want to put forward. Right now, what we'll be seeking, and that will go by meeting with legislators in their offices coming later this year, as well as we'll invite some of them to our local convention, is to have somebody sponsor it, whether it's on the Senate or the House side, but to have that as a sponsored bill to start to move through local legislation.
When it comes to trying to fine-tune that, is there an element of legal assistance that would help the NFB locally to... So I'm thinking, as you're talking, I'm always thinking of things I can raise from my audience because people are listening and a lot of people want to help. So would it be advantageous to have any legal assistance to help you with the crafting of that, or are you already armed in such a way?
I think probably the best service that the public could assist us with is those who feel strongly enough about this right for the blind and the disabled that they are willing to write testimony or come and testify with us or come and meet with us to ask questions and talk further. We have the legal advice nationally, and I'm not certain, and I'm open to anybody's input on this, but our experience has been that local legal advice on something like that is not necessary.
Not enough.
And it's if somebody legally wants to volunteer their services pro bono, it would be more that they would be a strong advocate rather than a legal
I get it.
Person.
Right, it'd be another person on the team providing a voice of support for it. And someone who sort of has a mind for understanding legislation to some degree or the way it works with law.
And also to guide us in, you know, direction that they think might be a little more helpful, then that works too.
Right, more conducive.
Yes.
Because the idea is to get it passed. And that can take a while, as you know.
It can.
I mean, years and years for things both locally and nationally.
Right.
What were you going to say, Sim?
Oh, I was just going to say we've had the experience now behind us both as an organization as well as individually getting things through local legislation, let alone through Congress, because we work at that level as well.
What else in terms of thinking back to the convention, it's coming up, and there's ways that, I mean, what are the things that people, in addition to contact, and that's a big one, to contact mm-hmm. legislators, to be supportive of this if they're passionate about it, but other levels of support for you away from the parenthood issue and more day-to-day things that someone could provide, or that you, when you think about the convention, can be an important reach out for maybe people with a new diagnosis in this realm, and sure. there's a level of support they can get there. You can speak to that.
I can speak fairly simply in a summary, but then I'm actually going to call on Shell to talk about his experiences
sure.
because he's not a new member. He's a new member, but he's not new to us. He's been around the NFP a long time, and when he made his decision through state conventions to become a member. But in a simple outlay, what I would welcome people to reach out to us for in coming to our state convention is we have exhibitors which are local resources of both what I call low-tech, no-tech, or high-tech resources for people who are blind. We also have a variety of members who come, those that are just starting out newly as blind people and those of us that have had blindness for a long time or our lifetime, that can be one-on-one contact that I have seen lives change because they've had a chance to talk to somebody else and know that they're not alone and that there's resources and people out there they can call on at any time to support them wherever they go in our nation, whether it's here in Hawaii on any island or back in the States, even up into Alaska. And we have organizations in Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia as well. So I think it's a time to come together, to meet other blind people, talk story, as well as be presented new, fresh ideas of what's going on in our community about blindness, for blindness, of blindness, and some exhibitors that are resources. But I'm going to turn it to Shell because he's a good story.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because when I first met Katie and Virgil guys, I'll just be honest, you know, I was the kind of person that I was myself. You know, I represented myself. I didn't represent all blind people. I didn't speak for blind people, and I didn't feel like blind people should speak for me. And you know, like my dad always had a quote he'd always tell us, because he'd always tell us over and over and over, and we never listened to my dad. And he always told us, you know, you just got to experience it. Experience is the best teacher. And so, you know, going through my life as a blind person, from the moment I said, okay, I'm blind, it is what it is, and I gotta live my life now. How am I gonna do this? And every day there's good days, there's bad days. There was days where I just felt like society was just was cruel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Society was treated me like I was 2 years old. You know, like my son's age right now. The more experience I've had, the more experiences I went through, I started to realize like, wow, whether I like it or not, you know what? We're clumped into one group. You know, we're such a minority out there that everything I do, people look at me and say, well, blind people can do this because I've seen this guy do it. Mm-hmm. If they see another blind guy that can't cross the street, well, blind people can't cross streets because I know one blind person who can. So I started to get more involved. I started to be around more of the consumer, the state conventions. I actually started going to like it. Because I started to let go of that resentment I had towards people trying to speak on my behalf. And I started to open up, and I started to really see how much sense everything made. You know, all the things that Virgil and Katie and others before that I had met from the Federation. I'm like, wow, it all makes sense. You know, society does have this perception of us, very low expectations of us. And it's up to us to change that. You know, it's our actions and the things that we do every day that... that'll make a big difference in how they look at us. So it took me a good bit of time. It took me about maybe 7-8 years before I actually joined up with the NFB. But I finally did it, and I'm glad I did, because I'm at the point of my life now. I really enjoy what I do. I really enjoy helping people like myself, who went through what I went through, who had those anger moments, who was very depressed, who was mad at the world, who told everybody, you don't understand because you can't see. Because I've been there, you know, and I saw myself transition. I look at myself now from then, and like, even when I could still see, I tell people, I said, you know, honestly, I'm more content, and I'm happier in my life now than I ever was at any other point in my life. It's because I'm comfortable with who I am now, and I understand that it's okay, it's respectable. You know, as long as you do your part, as long as you, it doesn't matter whether you have vision or not. You know, you can make a difference in people's lives, and you can still contribute like everybody else. And it took me a little bit longer. I'm a slow learner, but you know, it took me a little bit of time, and I finally got it. And I love sharing that with other people now. You know, I love sharing that with my students, even with, you know, some of the people I work with. You know, I'm a jokester. I joke around a lot. But you know, I love sharing. I love encouraging people. I love telling people that if I can do it, because I don't just say it because, you know, just to blow smoke or because I think that's what they want to hear. I really believe it. You know, I'm not no special thing. You know, if I can do it, you know, they can do it too. They just got to have the right attitude. They got to have, you know, they have the right opportunity right here in Hawaii, you know what I mean, to develop the skills, to develop the attitudes. We're surrounded by great people. We have great resources here. So, you know, I tell them, there's no reason why you can't, you know, live the life you want, you know, like the life I'm living right now. So, I hope that there's people out there that, you know, if you question yourself, if you feel low, you feel like life sucks, you know, come check it out. Come check out our state convention. Come check us out. Talk to one of us. We're more than, you know, willing to sit down and talk with people and share experiences and be positive influence in people's lives.
It's a very, very powerful message. And not just for someone who has a blindness or vision problem or really any kind of disability. Yeah. And I can see that that's a great example. And what you said is very powerful, that, and I had somebody say, I guess it was with Parkinson's, someone was telling me, you know, if you've met one person with Parkinson's, you've met one person with Parkinson's.
Right.
And
that's right.
Talk about the example, you know, you see a person, they can't cross the street, that's that person. You see an example and they're crossing the street, like you wisely pointed out. Mm-hmm. So you're setting the bar a lot higher, and I like it with the. You're working for, you're at Ho'opono, and that's who employs you as the cane travel instructor?
Yeah, I work for Department of Human Services, Vocational Rehab.
Because you're just that good at using it now that you're sharing with others. Is that it?
I'm qualified.
You're pretty certified and qualified.
Yeah. I see it. I mean, you guys, we're downstairs, and they've been here so many times. Yeah. Well, I just lead them. I just walk in front of them. They come right down the stairs. Yeah. It's really like everything that you're talking about. I see from all of you.
Yeah.
Every time that you're here,
we teach them from scratch. You know what I mean? You don't know how to use a cane. We'll teach you how to use that cane. We'll teach you how to use it properly. We'll teach you everything in between. We'll teach you, we'll drop you off somewhere and make you find your way back. I mean, you know, that's the kind of expectations we have. And, you know, we have those same expectations for ourselves. So we have those same expectations for all blind people. That there's no reason why. Blindness isn't the reason why, you know. And your attitude could be a reason why, but not the blindness. It's not the blindness.
Exactly. And Hawaii is... follows the philosophy of what the NFB goes by, and you know, with the structured discovery type of training. And it's probably, I believe Shell can share this, but I think Hawaii's probably one of very few state agencies across the country.
There's only three state agencies. There's six total that are certified by the NBPCB, which is the National Blindness Professional Certification Board. There's three private centers, one in Louisiana, one in Minnesota, and one in Colorado. And the three state ones are New Mexico, Nebraska, and your very own Hawaii. You know, people don't realize that Hawaii has one of the best training centers in the country. We're very fortunate to be living here as blind people because we get one of the best training opportunities here, right here in the state.
And you got Katie and Virgil.
And we got Katie and Virgil.
Don't forget, we have Shell here too. Yeah. You know, because there's it takes a village, really, to put it together. And you know, being part of the NFB and working alongside with the agency, I think it, when you got them working together, it meshes really well. Mm-hmm. Because then their students that come out get to see the examples of what folks like Shell are trying to show them.
It's empowering, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, I get it. I mean, there's no question. That's what I said. It's empowering for anybody who thinks you're having a bad day. Mm-hmm. It's going through something traumatic. You think it's tough. And then you guys come, and it's a big reminder of the kind of resilience that you got to call out of yourself, because it's in there.
Life goes on, right? You know what I mean? Life goes on. You can sit there and you can be sad, or you can sit up and say, okay, what am I going to do to improve my situation? You know, and that's how you got to just look at it. You got to just make the best version of you possible. You know, that's all you got to work every day. Everybody, whether you're blind or not, you want to be the best you. And if that means that you got to go out and surround yourself with good role models, get good training, whatever it is you got to do, that's what you got to go do. And I was fortunate, you know, I was put in a good situation. I had good family and I had good resources around me. You know, I worked with Katie. You know, Katie was one of the rehab teachers, or I think he was a rehab teacher, when I was there as a student. This is a long time ago.
This is when he did not like me.
Yeah, we bumped heads a lot.
Right.
We bumped heads a lot.
But I was one of his instructors, yes.
So. Well, it's an incredibly inspiring story. And before I give contact information, again, on the convention and on ways that one thing that as previously, I know, the Donate a Vehicle program, is that a good way for people to support you? What are any other tangible ways I can put out there?
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we have found that
it's not.
The donation program for the vehicles in Hawaii is not an option for whatever the tow truck reasons are. I don't know the logistics of it, but there are a couple of others. We will shortly on our website be having a direct PayPal donation link that they can use.
Nice.
We also have, if you go to amazonsmiles.com, National Federation of the Blind of Hawaii is one of the charitable organizations that some of the products, I guess they're the vendors on Amazon, donates a small percentage to. I just went and looked the other day on my account, and over the last 2 years, because of the purchases Virgil and I do both for our business and personally, we've donated approximately $500 to the National Federation of the Blind of Hawaii. We did not personally, but the vendors we bought from did.
So it's an incentive, you're saying.
It's an incentive, right.
That it's a way to help out, and it will add up, is what you're doing.
So if someone's buying from Amazon on a regular basis anyway, or one time, a percentage of what you bought, or the vendor's pocketbooks, not the buyer's pocketbooks, goes to our organization. Off the top of my head, I don't know of any other programs, Virgil or Shell, right now that would impact Hawaii as a donation process, other than you could directly send us a check.
Or bring it to the convention.
Or bring it to the convention, right. And I did want to say one thing, Dave, because I know we're coming up to time, but in listening to Shell today, every time I hear one of my peers' stories, I always get teary-eyed, but it also reminds me of our mission statement nationally and locally is with hope, love, and determination, live the life you want. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially following your dreams. And one of our older mission statements was walking alone, but marching together. Mm. So Shell's still independent. He doesn't have to be a collective voice, but he chose to march together and be a collective voice to empower his independent walking alone time. And those two mission statements ring true for me time and time again as I realize that here I am, a blind woman in Hawaii who's living an awesome life, and that every now and then, society and culture comes up to me and says, oh, I'm so sorry, for no reason other than I'm blind. And I just experienced this in a very professional environment. I'm on a board of a multi-million-dollar property, and one of the management companies we were interviewing, when I stood up with my white cane, she goes, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, oh, I'm so sorry. And she couldn't stop saying, I'm sorry. And I thought, wait. I'm not going to hire you if you're treating me like that. Right. And I'm in the powerful position to hire you and make that choice. So it just, you know, and it was no fault of hers. It was just her misunderstanding of the capacity and ability with the right opportunity, love, hope, and determination to dream and live the life I am.
Yeah. You're an inspiration. Yeah. There's no question.
Oh. Anyway.
Virgil,
again, Dave, one last thing is I'd like to just reach out to anybody out there. It doesn't matter if you're blind or sighted or you just want to know more about us. Mm-hmm. Our state convention is there. And, you know, there's a fee, but if you can't afford it, especially for the folks that are blind, don't worry. Just come, let us know. We'll get one of our chapters around the state to sponsor you. I mean, that's what we're here for. And if people really want to know more about us, come to the convention.
And that's what our donations, that's only one of things, but our conventions locally and nationally are powerful tools, and our donations that we collect help those that maybe feel they can't afford
right.
it, to bring them collectively to meet us, to talk to us, and know that they're not alone and that they're okay.
It is September 30th and October 1st, the convention that is happening this year at 1901 Bachelot Street in Honolulu, and the contact information for the organization, which of course we'll have online, hawaii.nfb.org. For outside of Oahu, 855-659-9314. Anywhere around the Honolulu area, 808-659-9314. You can reach Virgil directly, 808-722-4243, or by email, 808-Virgil, V-I-R-G-I-L, @gmail.com. Or Katie, the same, 808-722-4242. Or 808-KEIM, that's 808-K-E-I-M, @gmail.com. At hawaiipublicradio.org, you can get the full interview, the radio feature, all the contact information, all our previous segments with the NFB, and all of our other Helping Hand segments. They're all archived there online for you. It is always an inspiring thing to have the National Federation of the Blind of Hawaii here in the building. Honolulu Chapter President, State Affiliate VP Virgil Stinnett, his wife, Local Affiliate Secretary, State Convention Coordinator Katie Stinnett, Shell Cantan, VP, am I saying your last name right, Shell?
Yeah, Cantan.
Of Honolulu Chapter, and also at Ho'opono, Instructing the Blind with Cane Travel and Orientation and Mobility, which is shortened to O&M. And I hope that you can tell I appreciate you taking the time to come down here. You inspire me, too. There are many times that I think of things going on and, you know, they can get overwhelming. And then both with the stuff that Shell said and just reconnecting with you guys, Virgil and Katie, I just thank you for doing what you do and for serving as an inspiration for many different kinds of people and for being my guests here on Helping Hand. I really appreciate all three of you coming down.
Dave, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure always coming here and being, you know, part of your show, the Helping Hand program that you have, because I believe what you do and Hawaii Public Radio does is a great thing.
Great. Thank you, Dave.
You're quite welcome.
Thank
God
you
bless
for having
you guys.
Us.